This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Sweeten your business purchases with American Express Blue Business Cash, the card that makes everyday expenses extra rewarding. You'll earn 2% cash back on your first $50,000 in purchases per year, and then 1% after that, so you can treat your bottom line and give your business a helpful boost. Swipe after swipe. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Amex Blue Business Cash. Built for business by American Express.
So yesterday's story of the day was that Jake Paul is going to box Mike Tyson at Jerry World July 20th, live streamed on Netflix. Wait, Mike Tyson will be 58 years of age. So Keyshawn, how credible is this fight?
It's credible, but that's kind of where the fight world to me.
Yeah.
So growing up, you know, seeing Muhammad Ali and Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray and all the great fighters back in those days, right?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson. It's different now. It's like guys like Jake Paul pick out the guys that they want to fight. And they're not necessarily fighting guys at this level. Now he is. Now he is. Right? Before, it's just been guys that, I don't know, from different sports. He fought Nate Robinson. Different sports. This here?
Yeah.
This right here, Skip? Mm-hmm. Jake Paul has everything to win if he was to defeat Mike Tyson. Nothing to lose. Mike Tyson has everything to lose in credibility if that was the case with Jake Paul.
Even though
60 years old.
You don't think people give him a break being almost 60 years of age?
Give who a break?
Tyson. Like, if he did lose, wouldn't they say, well, he's almost 60 years old?
Skip, I understand that. He ain't losing.
Okay.
Mike Tyson is a trained killer.
Okay? Well, he used to be.
No, he still is compared to Jake Paul. Compared to Jake, because what Mike Tyson is not going to do, he's not getting ready to lose to a YouTube or whatever,
an
internet success or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's not losing to him. I can promise you that, Skip. He going to be in the best shape since he stopped boxing to beat this dude.
Mm.
Now, when he fought Roy Jones Jr. in a split decision back in 2020, Mike Tyson didn't look like Mike Tyson looked now.
It wasn't a split. They called it a draw.
A draw, a draw.
Okay, yeah.
He's different now. Then it was, you know, I'm getting in shape, boom, boom, boom. But now, that dude, let me tell you something, man. I ran into Mike Tyson several years ago, after he retired, whatever.
You had dinner, right?
Yeah, and we were at Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yeah.
And just talking to him, how did you know I had dinner?
You have dinner with everybody. Oh. Everybody you bring up on.
So, I was scared, Skip, of just talking to him. Okay?
I know him.
I'm looking at him in his eyes. I'm not looking over here having a conversation.
I got you.
Because I didn't want to disrespect him and have him feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then when you hug and you shake his hands, and he was at this time a little out of shape because he was chilling. He was chilling. Man, I'm not messing with that dude, man. I understand Jake Paul. Look, it ain't me and you. See, you and I were to get in the ring, that'd be different. You and him get in the ring, Jake Paul gonna beat you, he gonna beat me too, right? But he's in the ring with a dude that did that for a living. If you got on the football field with me, it's not gonna be the same because I did it for a living. If I try to be a journalist like you all the time, you probably gonna win. You're probably going to win.
Probably.
But he is going up against a guy that all he did for his life was box. Not all of a sudden wake up one day and say, oh, I think I want to be a boxer, and I'm going to go fight Nate Robinson, an ex-basketball player who was an athlete, mm-hmm. and I'm going to punch him and knock him down.
Okay.
No, Skip. Mm. Uh-uh. So are you giving him a shot?
Sure.
You are giving Jake Paul a shot?
Absolutely.
Okay. We can put some money on this one.
Okay. Again, I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm not betting on him to win, but you just said he's going to get knocked out.
Man, he might knock that dude out, man. I feel
might? Or will. If you say he will, I'll put money on it. He will not knock out Jake Paul.
I don't know Jake Paul's chin level. I don't know if he can take the shot.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. But Mike Tyson's not going to lose to him.
Okay.
Now, whether or not Mike knocks him out, he's going to walk away from this fight. He's going to feel them ribs and them. Oh, man, come on, man.
Okay, so you're saying it's not a credible matchup.
For Jake? Or just
this
in general?
To watch.
You can watch it because it'll be, this is where boxing, this is where this level of boxing is at now. It'll be fun to watch and see because of Mike Tyson. Because you just, you know, it's so interesting. There's certain people in sports, no matter who they are, right? Whether it's Tiger Woods, when he walks out on the course, you always feel like he's going to win. I don't care what you say about his body being broke down. If Michael Jordan got into shape and he walked into the gym, you just always feel like Mike Tyson is always going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. It's just certain people in sports, that's how you feel. Tom Brady, he can come back right now and go to a team. You're just going to feel like they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that's how it is with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And Mike Tyson's not going to lose his reputation against some dude off the internet.
But he's not going to knock him out. He won't. He just won't.
I don't know.
Okay. If you want to bet on a knockout, let's push the chips to the middle.
I don't know Jake Paul. Okay. I don't know if he can,
Okay, so my turn.
He's going to beat the crap. Man, he go, oh. All right.
Well, then
I can't wait.
Then you think it's going to be a knockout.
I don't know if it'll be a knockout.
All right. Okay, now I'm going to start where you started. I grew up the biggest boxing fan. I got to live through the Ali age, and he was my all-time favorite athlete. I got posters on my wall. This is way before your time. He was it in and out of the ring for me because he was not afraid to shatter every mold, as you know.
Yeah.
He was as great a figure in the sports world that ever walked this earth. That's just me. And I get chills just talking about him because I got to be around him.
Yeah.
He once called me at home to talk to me. And so I know the champ, and I know what he was made of. And listen, that thrill in Manila, I've never seen anything like it. I get goosebumps because they nearly killed each other. And the rumble in the jungle, I still don't know how he did it, but he did it. And those days are long gone, as you know. So now I hark back to 2015. We were there, Las Vegas, and it was all we had, but we had Floyd versus Manny Pacquiao. And it felt big to me, but unfortunately, it was way past its time because what was Floyd, 38? Manny was, 36? Okay, so they're...
They probably should have fought a long time ago.
Like 8, 10 years earlier. Yeah. Let's have it when it was right. But that's all we had. And I was into it. Everybody was into it. But that's boxing had come to that. So now, will I watch this? You better believe I'll watch it.
Of course.
But now it's like a barroom argument that came to life because you guys might be having some drinks and saying, well, what if Jake Paul fought Mike Tyson, like, right now? What would happen? That's just something you'd throw out and
absolutely.
You'd kick it around.
Absolutely.
And you'd argue about it. Oh, Mike Tyson would kill him, like literally
no,
maybe kill him.
He's going to K-I-L-T him, kilt.
Okay, I got you. But all of a sudden, it's almost like that pipe dream of a fight came to life. Mm. And somebody said, well, let's see what happens. And Mike Tyson saying, I'll do it because the money is there to be made because there's no Ali, there's no George Foreman, there's no Joe Frazier, there's no, name them.
I think Tyson Fury just did something to his hand or something and got hurt.
Right. And he's gifted as a huge human being. He's a gifted fighter. But the point is, Tommy Fury, his nephew, did fight Jake Paul. I respect Jake Paul's athletic ability and
that's all
his guts.
I respect all that. That's why I said if I was ever getting a ring with him,
yeah,
he'd kill me.
Yeah.
He'd beat the you know what out of
he's
me.
He's a bigger kid than you think he is because he's 6'1", 200, okay?
Doesn't matter,
okay,
though,
I got
Skip.
You, but he's not small.
Doesn't
so,
matter. Mike right. Tyson. Go ahead, Skip.
Okay, so he boxed Tommy Fury, mm-hmm. who's very good. Not great, not all-time great, but very good.
Yeah.
And it was a split decision.
Yeah.
And one of the judges had Jake Paul winning the fight. The other two had Tommy Fury.
And so Tommy Fury ain't Mike Tyson.
Okay,
though.
He's definitely not Mike Tyson, but he's
at
a credible he's a credible boxer.
Yes, but okay. He ain't Mike Tyson.
All right, so I also have spent some time around Mike Tyson, so I know what you're talking about. He still has somewhere in there psycho killer. He was the baddest man who ever stepped into a ring. And I know George Foreman early on, but listen, Tyson was it. And I know he fell out of shape and Buster Douglas happened and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it was wild in his life at that point.
Was it?
If
wild.
He was under control,
okay.
If John Horn and Roy and all them had him under control, he wouldn't have been in that situation.
All right. So he has not fought professionally since 2005. So we're going on 20 years since his last real professional fight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on 4 years since he and Roy Jones Jr.
tried the little
exhibition.
Yeah.
It was 8 rounds. Mm-hmm. And to your point, early on in that quote-unquote fight, Tyson was taking it, like, too seriously, and he rocked Roy a couple times, especially with a couple of body shots where Roy looked hurt to me, you know, like he had the wind knocked out of him.
But again, though, almost called you Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Skip, again, though, these are two world-class boxers that went up against each other that did this for a living since they was how big?
Yep.
This is all they knew.
Did. Well, and to your point.
And they both were champions at doing
it. Roy Jones sort of hung on for dear life, like literally he just clinched his way through the rest of the fight, and the judges ruled it a draw. I thought Mike won the fight pretty easily.
And Mike wasn't in the best of shape right then either.
Okay, and to your point, thank you for that segue, because at the weigh-in before that fight, Tyson, who can be a little out there occasionally, he said that he had tried this psychedelic drug. It was called toad venom.
Uh-huh.
And when he tried the drug, he said, I took that medicine, and the medicine told me it's time to get in shape. So he said he lost almost 100 pounds for that Roy Jones to get to 220.
Yeah.
So let's say he was over 300 pounds. Yeah, is that possible?
Jerry, okay. I'm telling you, when I was having dinner with him, I'm looking at him, but I know he's out of shape. I mean, I'm looking at him. I know that's not the same Tyson.
Yeah.
And I was saying to myself, if he ever got into shape, I wonder, and I'm a fanboy, so I'm wondering, if he ever got in shape, could he do it again?
Okay. But for any human to lose almost 100 pounds is hard on your body. And if you let yourself roller coaster and go, and I have no idea what his shape is as we speak, is he up toward 300 again? Is he going to have to lose 60, 70 pounds?
No, he's not up to 300.
It's too many.
Up to 300.
Yeah, okay.
He's a lot. He's down a lot. But he's also training and taking it serious because he's not going to walk out there and lose to that dude.
Yeah, and he knows because he was a mentor to Jake. I mean, he knows him. And Keyshawn, he likes him, but that won't matter at all. He liked
everybody till you get in the ring.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my God, some of the stuff I saw him do to Spinks and, oh God. It was just.
It's like me getting on the football field, Skip. I was the nicest guy, the sweetest guy that ever was outside those white lines. When I got inside those white lines, you and I don't even know you. You're blank to me.
I understand.
And that's how it is. You talk about cold-blooded killers. We talk about Michael Jordan, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Michael Jordan got on the court, nobody was his friend.
Never seen anything like it before.
You know? Nobody, even if I had to make things up in my own mind about somebody.
Which is what he
you
did.
You do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Look, Jake, does Jake Paul have an opportunity and a chance? Yes. Yes, he does. But it's not going to come to fruition, though. When Mike Tyson gets going and gets in that ring, the DNA and the body, obviously, with all of us, it just triggers.
It does.
Okay?
Yep.
Period. That's just how professional athletes are built.
Okay, that's your spirit, that's your psyche, but will your body go with you at nearly 60 years of age when it triggers as it always used to?
It probably will if you train in the way that he's got to train.
Yep.
And clearly he's doing that. Clearly. I mean, I just saw some clips. Those aren't old clips. Those are new clips of Mike. That's new.
Yep.
That ain't. Look how much smaller he is from the time with Roy Jones. You could just look at his body and tell how he's fit.
Yeah.
You can just look at the
slimness.
I don't
know when that's from. Is it?
I think that's recent. That's okay. Most recent.
All right.
That's not old.
Okay. And then they haven't said how many rounds we're going here. Are we going to go eight? Are we going to go 10? Are we going to go 12?
No, you can't go 12
okay.
rounds.
Okay. Well,
now, see, you start saying 12 rounds. Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Yes.
I don't think this is a 12-round fight. It might be eight or less because they haven't said. I was looking for it. They haven't said exactly how many.
Okay.
But I'm trying to convince you, man. I know you watch boxing a long time, but I have too. But when you get in a ring with something like that.
Yes, I understand.
I mean, when George came back, when he came back and won the heavyweight championship, what was he, 50?
George Foreman?
Yeah.
I think he was in his 40s, 45-ish, 48.
For some reason, I thought he was 50.
Yeah, maybe he was close to 50.
And he had set out a while.
Yep.
But again, when he came back to box, you know, even when Muhammad Ali had the little short stint of not boxing, when he came back, he became the world champion again, the heavyweight champion again, after sitting out and not boxing and not being allowed to and all those sort of, because the DNA in your body, man, it just triggers.
Yeah, but then I was there when Muhammad fought his last fight against Trevor Burbick in
but
the
by
Bahamas.
The end, I was by sitting, the end, it was over with.
I was sitting ringside, and it was the saddest sight I've ever seen.
But by the end, it was over. It was 1,000 fights in.
Trevor Burbick, God.
It's going to be fun to watch. Netflix going to make a lot of money.
Well, there you go. Isn't that the point?
Yeah.
Congratulations to Netflix.
Yeah, they're going
to
make a lot of money on this one.
Okay. And yet, I'm going to say it again. Jake Paul, to me, is no joke. Even though he's a YouTube sensation.
I get it, Skip.
He is a mentally and physically tough kid from the streets. He didn't come from money. He's got money now, and he's about to have a whole lot more money.
This different, though.
Yeah.
No, this is different. This ain't Nate Robinson. This ain't Keyshawn Johnson. Yeah. This is not Le'Veon Bell. This is not one of those type of situations. You understand what I'm saying? This is somebody that's been doing this basically since birth. This is somebody. So you're going up against something different. That's all I'm saying. So the warning sign is up. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
I think we just sold a whole bunch of views to this fight, right? I think a whole bunch of people are saying, I'm in. I'll watch.
And I may be wrong.
But I
doubt it.
I'm going to be curious to see how many show up at Jerry World because you can get, for boxing, you could probably get, I don't know, 90,000 in there, 100,000 if
but
you wanted
is this
to.
But is this an undercard for something or is it the main kind of main event?
It.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Jake Paul started as on the undercard
so
for the Tyson
people?
One. Well, you could. I mean, I don't know if they'll come out for this, but all I know is I'll buy it and I'll watch it. That's
Tyson's
all I know.
Gonna draw. I don't know if it'll be 100,000, but he'll draw.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jake Paul's
because
got a big following.
Again,
yeah.
Jake Paul has a following. Yeah. Not only does he have a following, think about this. As I said to you before, all of us that are Tyson fanboys, as you want to call it, that grew up watching Mike are going to want to watch. And then all the people that never watched Mike are going to want to see because they heard all of the fanboys like me talk about how great Mike was back in the day.
Yeah.
So you're going to get all that.
You are. And you know and I know, it never hurts for marketability when it comes to boxing if you got black and white.
You can do that too.
So it's
hopefully it won't divide anything up.
No, but I'm just saying, it never hurts.
It never hurts.
Because how many times did they try to find a great white hope or hype for Ali and it's just...
Jerry Cooney. No,
I know, they
kidding.
Tried. Yeah, they tried.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
According to Ralph Bacchiano of Fox Sports, sources indicated that the Eagles, quote unquote, might take a swing at Saquon Barkley. Bacchiano added that while the Eagles aren't expected to go crazy with their offer for Barkley, they could be an option if he doesn't get the types of contract offers he is expecting. So, Keyshawn, would Saquon make the Eagles division favorites?
I think without Saquon Barkley in the lineup, the Eagles, by some people, might be division favorites. But you add him to your lineup, they'll probably creep right back to the top. DeAndre Swift is a free agent. So when you get a dual threat like Saquon Barkley, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, can also run between the tackles on the perimeter, he gives you a lot, Skip. I know you're not a favor of him. You don't like him. You don't think he's all that because if you play bad or your team loses to the Dallas Cowboys, which means that even though your offensive line is not very good, they're not very good. That's the way you look at things. And I think if he goes over there and with their running game and how they like to run the football, with also a quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who's probably going to be healthy, who can run the football. We saw them run their way into a Super Bowl.
They did.
Could have very well beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You add him to the mix, this is a little bit different to DeAndre Swift. I forgot that he is from the area. I forgot he was from the PA area. Totally forgot about that. They can make it happen. Now, if he goes there, he's probably not looking to set the market at quarterback and all those sort of things, because they don't want to spend the type of money at the running back position. It'll be some sort of mutual agreement on a team-friendly deal. You may not be scared of him as far as the Dallas Cowboys go because you don't think he's all that good anyway. But he fits perfect for the Philadelphia Eagles and what they want to do. Perfect for them. I think they're going to be something to be reckoned with in the NFC East.
Okay. I'm going to give you this. He's better than DeAndre Swift, who is not bad, but he didn't scare me at all. But neither does Saquon.
Okay.
Because Saquon to me, and again, I am a prisoner of moments against the Giants, another division rival of ours, but I saw him 10 times against my Dallas Cowboys. We won every one of those games with the leakiest run defense in pro football because he is a luxury back. He is more icing than he is cake. He does not run consistently hard or consistently effectively between the tackles, like you say.
If I'm getting hit in the backfield, Skip, as soon as I touch the football, what are you talking about?
All right. Well,
I can't do anything. As soon as I touch it, I'm getting hit. My offensive line is poor.
You want to talk about poor as in poor us? Poor us, P-O-R-O-U-S, and poor us, P-O-O-R-U-S, as in us. Our run defense, we don't stop anybody. We went to Arizona and they ran us off the field. We went to Buffalo and they ran us all the way back to Dallas.
Because their offensive linemen were killing y'all.
Right. So this is the guy who lost all 10 games to the Dallas Cowboys. This is the guy who went over 100 yards twice in 10 games. This is the guy who in those 200-yard games had a 68-yarder and a 59-yarder in the other game. Let me finish.
In the league,
let me finish. So this is the guy who in a game going over 100 had a 68-yarder, and on all the other carries, he averaged 2.6 yards per carry. I've told you again and again, this is the classic case of the home run hitter who's going to lead the league in strikeouts, as in none-yard carries, and is going to bat about 220 because he'll get you every once in a while. He's going to hit a home run, and you will get blinded by the highlights. Oh, that's Saquon. He's unbelievable. Did you see that?
Blinded by the highlights. Yeah. When I've watched him from college and all throughout his pro career.
So have I.
And the dude's getting hit in the backfield, Skip. Mm. You're saying everything was going for 2 point whatever. He's getting hit in the backfield. You do understand great backs need offensive line.
Okay, so it's all their offensive line's fault.
Their offensive line suck. Hmm. Like, what are you talking about, Skip?
Okay. Yet, somehow Daniel Jones took that team to the playoffs.
No, Daniel Jones actually didn't take the team to the playoffs.
Oh.
Saquon Barkley played along with Daniel Jones, and they wind up squeaking into the playoffs.
They squeaked in, and then they squeaked out a victory at Kirk Cousins.
Everybody beat Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, well, man.
Wait,
stop.
You tell me he's it.
Everybody beats Minnesota and Kirk Cousins.
All right.
The Dallas Cowboys rolled in with Cooper Rush and hung 50 points on them. So stop.
They didn't hung 50, but they went up there with Andy Dalton and won 1 year. I told you
exactly,
this the other day.
But Minnesota.
Now you're trying to use my argument against me.
Don't tell me about Minnesota. Don't do that. Yeah.
Okay,
don't tell me about Minnesota. You act like Minnesota is at the top of the heat in the NFC.
No, but I'm just saying they somehow made the playoffs just a year ago and went and won a playoff game on the road.
When you're in a division like Minnesota's in that had bad teams, they're going to win the division and be in that situation. When you look at the New York Giants in a bad division, they backed in to the playoffs at the bottom of the seeding, and they go to Minnesota and they beat a bad team in Minnesota.
Mm.
But you want to now say that Kirk Cousins is very, very bad. At the flip side of things, Daniel Jones is great, and they went in and rolled in and beat Minnesota. Come on now, Skip.
I mean, there's Justin Jefferson, right? They got firepower.
Look, man, this dude can play at a high level. That's why the Eagles are courting him, so he can join their team to come and get the Dallas Cowboys. But you're not worried about it.
No.
You don't worry about it at all. Okay.
Not worried at all.
All right, don't be worried.
But every time the Eagles sign somebody, you look at me like, you scared now? Kevin Byard, he's no longer an Eagle.
The
really?
Eagles, Shaq Leonard? The Eagles have been to the Super Bowl 3 times since the Dallas Cowboys have been to an NFC championship.
Can't argue with that.
They've probably been, let me see, 4, 5, 6
championship games.
Seven championship games. If my math is right.
I think you're right.
7 championship games, right? 4 with Andy, and 3 with the other coaches that have gone on.
Yep, you're correct. And what does that have to do with next year?
But it has a lot to do with next year.
Really?
Yeah, it has a lot to do with next year because they're
going to bring all those people.
You don't
back?
Value them. You act like they just chop liver.
Okay.
Like they're nothing.
I said they were chopped liver last year when they were 10-1. I just sat right here and I said, nope, nope, nope.
And guess what happened? They fell off. Y'all fell into the number 2 spot.
Yep.
They went on the road and lost to Baker Mayfield with some of their key players out. Y'all was at home with a young first-time starting quarterback that rolled in to Dallas, hung 27 on you. I was with Michael. He changed clothes at halftime.
Yep.
27-0.
Yep.
On y'all head, and y'all had the number 2 seed, and they was the 7 seed.
And your
point
is?
But you're not worried about Philadelphia.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Don't be worried about him. Don't worry about Saquon Barkley then.
Yeah.
Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
I bet you Jerry and them, they're not saying that. Mm. I bet you that. I bet you Mike McCarthy and Mike Zimmer's not saying that.
Saquon Barkley is 0-10 against the Dallas Cowboys, against the leakiest run defense in that division for years, and he's 0-10. Boy, he had impact. Whew. He went Barry Sanders on us.
Stop.
Yeah.
You're talking about a team in the New York Giants that's not very good.
Well, they were not very good
when they were beating the Dallas. I mean, when they was losing to the Dallas Cowboys, they were not very good.
Yeah.
Those 10 games that he played, that team was not very good. Just because they went to the playoffs one time, that team is not good.
So, Jason Kelce just retired, and it seems like...
Well, for now.
You think it is for now?
You never know. If they sign Saquon, maybe he says, you know what? I'm going to run it back.
Okay. What if he doesn't? Are they going to be as good?
If he doesn't, I'm sure they have a contingency plan at the center position. I'm sure they have a contingency plan at the center position.
They all seem to be, they just stay beat up across that front. They just do.
They probably do, Skip. Yep. But this ain't about Jason Kelce. This is about Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And you telling me to try to force on me that 10 games that he loses to the Dallas Cowboys is all his fault and he's not a good running back. So as I said to you before, is Aaron Jones the best running back in football? Because what he does against the Dallas Cowboys, I've never seen anything like it.
I've talked about it.
He sees the Dallas Cowboys and says, I think I'm going to rush for 200 today. So he's the best back in all of football.
Because he grew up in El Paso, Texas as a Cowboy fan, and he badly, dearly wanted the Dallas Cowboys to draft him, and they ignored him. They snubbed him, and he said, okay, watch this.
But his offensive line isn't any good.
Well,
and just push y'all around.
No, our defensive front is not very good.
Oh, so the defensive front isn't very good.
Yeah, and as great as Micah is occasionally at rushing the passer, when it comes to stopping somebody running past him, he doesn't do that.
Is it that hard?
Yeah.
Is it just that hard for you to give somebody a little bit of credit?
Who?
Just somebody every night. Well, just give him a little bit of credit.
I mean, Aaron Jones, I love him. I rave about him.
You love him and rave about him because he smashes your defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't like Saquon Barkley because your defense and your team has beaten his team 10 straight times.
10 times. Okay, well, you asked me a question. Do I fear him? I don't. Why should I fear him? So he changes uniforms. He goes from blue to green, and I'm going to say, uh-oh,
well,
he's in green
now.
If
you go from blue to green, that offensive line in green is better than one in blue. And now they're opening up holes and lanes that he can now take advantage of. And now they're using him in the right way in the pass game.
Even with Jason Kelce still playing at a very high level, they lost 6 out of 7 games.
That's okay.
Huh. They lost 32-9 at Tampa. And I'm scared? I'm not.
Y'all lost to Green Bay at home with the number 2 seed.
We did. It was horrible.
You was down 27-0 at halftime.
We lost 48-32.
Okay.
We're down 48-16 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what happened.
48-16.
That's what happened to y'all because y'all wasn't ready to play.
Yeah. Okay. And we brought the coach back. And we brought the quarterback.
Well, that's y'all fault. You should have campaigned to get rid of both of them if that's the way you feel.
All right. So, do you think Saquon's going to hit the lottery on the open market? Do you think he's going to get $30 million?
Of guaranteed money? No, probably not. No, I think he'll fall in line, you know, a 2-year guarantee of $20 million, $10 million a pop, somewhere in there.
All right. God bless him. I like him personally. I think he's a great guy.
Maybe it's 9.5. I don't know what it's going to be.
Okay.
But they want him.
Okay.
Somebody wants him.
Okay.
Maybe even the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. You are overvaluing. I am realistically valuing. That's all.
I'm overvaluing.
Yeah, you just are. Blinded by the highlights. It's okay. But it happens.
I'm blinded by the highlights.
Yeah.
But never mind, man.
Okay.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
LeBron is obviously not the GOAT. This man is the GOAT. If it's Friday, it's 11:30 Eastern. It's time for Wayne's World. Time for Lil Wayne to impart his wisdom on his Lakers, who can be so good and so, so bad. Okay, Wayne, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Skip. Good morning, Keith.
What up, baby?
Good.
Help us out here, because we've been struggling all week with this.
So have the Lakers.
Exactly who and what are your team? Explain your team to the world.
We are the Lakers. I mean, we are LeBron. We are LeBron. And everybody know LeBron is the king, and he haven't dropped the inch. He looked like he just started yesterday. And we are AD. Mm. And you know how that goes. And with that said, we up and down with it, you know? And sometimes we get down and we stay down for too long. And sometimes we get down at the wrong time. Mm. We go up at the wrong times, like, you know, like maybe for an in-season tournament, something like that, you know? We go all the way up. And then we go back down, and when we go down at the wrong time. And also, it seems, I said it before, I said it since, I feel bad for Brian. I feel like we're wasting this man's time.
I understand, yeah.
And also, it sucks when, you know, you see him hit the threes, or you see him do a nice pass or something, and he, you know, he might shake as he sell, you know, he feel good. Like, I hear you say a lot, he's happy, like a little kid out there. He feel good, but then you got to watch that kid walk off the court without his basketball.
Yeah,
you
know, that's like, what happened. Yeah.
Inconsistency. That's all. It's just inconsistent.
But it's wild.
Not, it's not over yet.
No.
I mean, they still, you know, they're going to be in the play-in, might draw you Golden sure? State.
You sure?
Yeah, they're going to be in the play-in, for sure. 100%. They're going to make the play-in.
They're still, five and a half games
in Utah. It would take a collapse in Utah to win out, basically, for the Lakers to miss the play-in. But it's the inconsistency. And we talked about AD early in the year, October, whatever it was, November. It was like trade block. He's getting on our nerves. But for the most part, he's played extremely well, except the other night.
Yeah.
The other night, it was like, come on, man, you can't do, because against OKC in a smaller front line, mm-hmm. he looked like Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden, the other night against Sacramento, you look like the Anthony Davis that Wayne was talking about back in October, November.
Agreed.
So he's got to play different against the bigger boys than he has. Even with Joker against Denver, he didn't play all that great, but he didn't play all that bad either.
He match up good with Joker, though.
He does.
No, he does.
I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
He does.
But I need you to play against Joker, Sabonis and company, the same way you play against OKC. Especially if LeBron is going to give you 31.
Yeah.
And I think he had 13 assists. Assists. Yep. And I just need you to step up and do a little bit more. But here's the key. I don't know if you caught it or not. After the post game and what AD said about basically, I'm going to say, the coaching staff.
Yeah.
You putting us in this position to not be in the spots on defense.
Yeah.
So now that tells me you got a problem internally in that locker room when that player starts talking like that.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
He's not going to accept y'all blame. And us on that, exactly. We all the ones really putting us in this position.
That is correct. How do you feel about your head coach right now?
I don't see nothing wrong. I believe he need to show that leadership. You know, just show that, you know, that Brian is following you as well. Because, you know, I don't want it to start looking like remember when Kyrie and KD was together and it was like, man, we coach the team ourselves. Sometimes it started to look like that, you know, it started to look like Darvin is a fan, more of a fan. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, the boy is the king. But, you know, come on, man, we're going to need you to coach it up.
Mm. Yeah, the problem that they're going to have, Skip, in these, when players start to send messages about the coaching, mm-hmm. it becomes the beginning to the end in sports. When because he fired off, I would assume he fired off the first shot by saying they played like cowards.
Yeah.
So he's trying to do the
and I don't
cliche.
Know that AD, I don't know that AD heard that.
I'm sure.
I'm assuming somebody's like, man, I'm assuming he heard it. That's why he said what he said.
Isn't it a saying?
Like, it's Vince Lombardi. Yeah. It's from your...
Oh, yeah.
Fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Yeah, but he didn't say fatigue, did he?
He didn't say fatigue.
Frustration.
What?
Yeah, that's why he threw
me off. No, it does not.
If you think about that, and I'm just being gossipy here, if you think about him saying frustration, not fatigue, mm-hmm. frustration. So are the players frustrated
with
you?
Are you frustrated?
Or are you frustrated with them? And so you calling them cowards? Or do you know that they frustrated with you and you calling them cowards? It's either one way or another. Can't you see what I'm saying, Scott?
I do, but he was trying to be clever and it fell flat.
at least you think he was trying to be clever. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, but to Wayne's point, I know Darvin a little bit. he's a nice man. He's got a good heart to him.
Yeah.
And he's a smart basketball man, but I don't know that he's a forceful leader in that locker room because LeBron's the leader of the locker room.
It's hard to be forceful. LeBron, unless you Pat Riley.
That is correct. Early on, like earlier in his career, Pat.
But I believe Bron believe in success. And I believe you ain't got to be Pat Riley. I believe if you're showing him, if you're putting something in front of him, you know what I mean? You're putting something in front of him every night that's working.
Yeah.
I believe
But it's hard.
Not to say he isn't right now.
But it's hard to coach LeBron. It's just hard because he's LeBron.
Yeah.
I thought Ty Lue did a great job, but he's really good at what he does.
But he also played and won championship.
He played,
and it's just a different conversation.
He was a first-round draft pick. Yeah.
It's hard for me to teach you how to play the guitar. It's hard. It's hard, man.
Darvin wasn't bad. He wasn't a first-round draft pick, but he was a decent player.
But think about all the coaches that LeBron has had. They all got fired eventually. The only one that didn't get fired is Spoelstra.
Mm.
He the only one.
Yeah.
He the only one that didn't get fired.
When you say it like that, then yes, it is very tough to coach LeBron.
It's tough. Yeah. But it's tough because Skip, if you somewhat, and it's not anything that LeBron is doing, it's just LeBron.
It is.
Hard to tell him.
I agree.
Don't do this. Don't do that. I want you to do this.
I'm not sure if it's hard to tell
him. It's hard, man. It's hard. It's not hard to tell him. You just don't want to tell him because you don't know what's going to come back at you.
And it's also, you probably also feel like, am I sure what I'm telling him is right? Because he might be right.
Yeah, he's the greatest dude with a brain. High IQ. What you gonna tell him?
Yet I do believe there's a part, an old school part of LeBron James that wants to be coached. He wants somebody to order the locker room, to impose some order on the locker room and some of his own will.
I believe that.
And Darvin is physically, he's like six, what is he, six, 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 seven? Okay, but he comes, he's not some little dude when he walks in.
That's how he first came in the door, but now to me he's seeming like a big old fan.
Yeah, okay.
Fan. Like, does. Man, Brian, boy, I know y'all saw him tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Y'all saw him tonight.
No, it's
y'all
true.
Saw that boy
No,
tonight.
You're right.
Come on, man. What you talking about, man?
All right. Should he be tougher then? Should he?
Nah, be him. Be himself. He should just be himself, but also be a coach.
All right.
Not a fan.
Okay. So let's put this game to bed, what happened the other night against Sacramento. Maybe they just have your number because they have now beaten you four straight times in your building. And yet, you come out house on fire, man. You come out like that's enough of them.
Yeah.
And I look up and it's 32-18 late in the first quarter.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. Like, okay, that's it. This is who they're going to make a statement tonight, and they're going to keep taking off here because they are capable of doing this. And all of a sudden, I don't know. It's like the movie. Are we there yet? To me, they're like, are we there? Is that enough? You guys going to quit now? No, we're not going to quit because they never quit. They love to beat the
basketball,
Lakers.
But basketball is
a game of runs.
It's a game of runs, but also it's a fourth quarter. The last 7 minutes of the fourth quarter is when you know a team is going to win or lose. Mm-hmm. Not in the first quarter. Teams, especially now with the way threes is just put up,
understand.
You can erase a 15-point deficit like yesterday.
You can't give up a 54-20 run from the late first quarter to halftime. 54-20?
You can't.
It's just wrong. It's just a bad sign.
But it's easy for teams to do.
Yeah. I heard DeRozan say something last night after the game, after they won, and they asked him about the fourth quarter. It was like, you're so clutch in the fourth quarter. He said, it's the best part of the game.
Best part of the game?
Yeah.
Well, it's the best part of the game.
That stuck out to me. He said, that's the best part of the game.
Well, it should be. Yeah. As long as you believe that.
Nah, he'd be balling.
He does. They've been quietly starting to play.
It's like Denver. We talk about Denver the last 5 minutes of a game. They all of a sudden turned into a different team.
AD said it. AD said, he said, you could feel it. He said, what, like 3 minutes, 4 minutes? He said, you could feel it. They turn it on. They turn it on. You know, you already know it's coming.
They turn it on defense, too.
If you know it's coming, then why y'all don't turn it on, too? Y'all don't have no extra button?
No, they standing around. Look at them. They just all standing around watching.
So when I least expected it, your man, Anthony Davis, just didn't show up. Like, there was no energy to it. He wasn't terrible. He just didn't. It wasn't like you were committed to making a statement against Sacramento.
You know how it goes. I took up and down, man. Up and down. I can't explain it. I can't speak for him. I don't know what it actually is. I don't know what it is.
Whew.
Because, you know, it could look like something. Yeah. It may not. It totally may not be. He may be giving everything he got.
Here we go.
Yeah.